What's up, y'all? Here's a quick recap of last week.
When people hear the term sex education, they tend to think it's learning what you might have learned in high school, which is about condoms, which is about pregnancy, and which is about you're gonna die if you do it. But there's so much more. It's not just learning about bodies and the bad things that can happen. It's talking about relationships and what's normal development, what's healthy, how to interact with other people, pleasure. I just want people to not feel shame about something that is a completely fucking normal part of being a human.
Welcome back to part two. I'm so happy you're here. Let's dive in where we left off. I have to admit, I do feel a certain type of way because I have like a mad love for a lot of my friends that are females that are close to me. And when I see the type of people that they're just, you know, whatever, like it bothers me. It really bothers me because I'm like, I don't think this person should have access to you. Granted, I don't, I'm not your dad. I'm not your man. So I can't freaking whatever, but it does bother me that these people have access to you or have had access to you and they have not given you any sense of security. There's no sense of like, I'm down for you, I'm here for you, call me if you need me. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And yet it's okay to give the deepest parts of you. So I feel that I really do feel a certain type of way, but I don't think it's me shaming them. I think it's like I hold them at a certain like respect level that it's like, oh man, this guy, like this cargo pant guy. Like,
fuck. We've all run into that with friends where we're like, really? Like, you're so cool though. But what I love about what you're saying is that you might have these thoughts in your head, but you would not shame your friends. And that is, I think, one of the biggest lessons for some people that were raised with so much shame around everything is like, yeah, you can have your opinions about who your friends are sleeping with, but you know the difference between having your opinion and then making everyone else conform to your exact belief system.
Right.
And that difference is really important.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, because I obviously know, you know, I come from it, so it's not even my intent to make anyone feel any kind of way because of that. But it is my intent for them to like man, at least make them like, at least let it be someone who's like down for you, like in some sense of the word, because the beautiful thing is about most of my friends that I have these conversations with is they actually want a legit relationship. They're not like out here. It's like, they're out here, you know, hooking up with a bunch of people. But they're telling me they really want the one. Like, they're not, they're doing it because of boredom or because of loneliness or because of all these reasons. But deep down, they're like, all like, I want my person. I want my person. So I'm curious, do you think that is an effective way to find your person? Or do you feel like the craziness of that could deter them?
That's a good question. And I feel like we find the people that are right for us in so many different ways. And I don't think that just going out and dating at random is a bad thing. I don't think that will deter people from finding good partners. Yeah, sometimes I think it's just luck. Like, people find partners, good partners in all kinds of ways, on apps.
I said that because a lot of the girls that I know, they get deflated because it's a constant like disappointment. So it's not, it's just like, fuck, another one. Like, another one.
Yeah. Those situations, like if someone is feeling deflated over and over and over with dating, I would usually say, like, why don't you just take some time off and not even think about finding a partner? Just think about what makes you happy in your life and do all of the things that make you happy and fulfilled. And chances are, when you are not even thinking about it or feeling it, someone will come along for you. I know that's it sounds a little fairy tale-ish, but I do believe that just chasing and chasing after a mythical kind of like great partner is going to be super frustrating sometimes. And why not spend your energy making the life you have awesome?
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting that energy into your friendships.
Yeah, that's good. Wait. I have, I looked up, I was like, so top questions about sex. So let me ask a couple of these for you.
Sure.
So these apparently, I don't know. You always wonder one of those blogs are like the most frequent in like questions about sex or whatever. So this one says, how do I make sure I orgasm during sex? So if someone asked you that, because most of our audience here actually on this podcast is female.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is coming from that perspective. We're just going to.
For sure. Because most dudes can. Yeah. They can just. It's easy.
Not the equipment isn't that difficult to figure out.
Yeah.
It's a microwave, baby. Just.
Honestly, my answer to that question would be figure out how you do it yourself first. You have to be someone that knows how your body responds to certain kinds of touch. If you have not had an orgasm through masturbation, I would encourage you to become quite familiar with that practice. And then when you are with a partner, it is your responsibility to communicate to them what feels good and what kinds of stimulation you need. Yeah. I think sometimes we get this idea that sex should not involve a lot of try this or move this way. Like it should all be silent and we should all just be intuiting. Like, I'm just going to guess and I'm just going to know. And that's absolutely not fucking true. It's you have to be, you can't just think this guy is going to give me an orgasm. So if we're talking about a woman having sex with a guy, you can't just be like, this guy's going to know what he's doing. Your body is different than every other person's body. So if you are the one that wants to have an orgasm, it also requires participation on your part to say like, you know, this feels better for me, or I'm more likely to have an orgasm if I'm on top, or I can only have an orgasm through, I mean, for anyone with a clitoris, it's direct clitoral stimulation for 20 minutes or more.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say you gotta take control of that orgasm.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure for a dude to try to figure it out. It's like, bruh, we don't know. When I was out there in these streets, I'm super communicative. It's like, bruh, let's cut through the bullshit. You tell me what you like and I'm here for it. Like, I don't want to like fumble around for 15 minutes and in your mind, you're like, all right, let's get this shit over with. It's like, give me a soft toss.
Hits you with that. I'm good.
About speaking up, but it's so necessary.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, if you don't speak up, you're missing out on an opportunity. And you're just going to get frustrated and you're going to be like, that guy didn't know what he was doing. And it's like, you also have to tell people.
And you could do it in a sexy way. It doesn't have to be freaking scientific. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be like simple things by noises or right there or, you know, in a certain way to where it's like, let the person know you're on the right track.
Let me show you where I like to be touched, or let me take your hand and do the thing.
All of that can be super hot, like if done in a smooth, like, hey, I'm just trying to teach you and I'm just trying to learn, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it?
I would also, if a woman had that question, I would also tell her that there is no shame in assisting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are having sex with a guy and it's difficult for you to have an orgasm, you can help. You can help yourself along. You can masturbate while he stimulates your body in other ways. Like there's no shame in doing that, because for a lot of people, it's not easy to reach an orgasm during sex with a partner.
Yeah. Yeah. The penetrative kind is way harder than the clitoral kind. Yeah. That's one I haven't, understood.
Another question, you mentioned it earlier, like one of the things and helping is you understanding yourself, right? So masturbation.
Yeah.
This question is, how much is too much masturbation?
Yeah.
That's a great question, and it really truly depends on the person and why they're masturbating. If you are someone that is genuinely like, I have a high sex drive and I masturbate once or twice a day and it doesn't affect your life, it doesn't keep you from, you know, doing your job or being present with your family, there is nothing wrong with masturbating more than once a day. But there are other folks who may be using that as a distraction or a compulsion.
Yeah.
So there's no correct amount. There are people who also just don't feel very sexually motivated or don't feel a lot of spontaneous arousal or desire to masturbate. And for them, that's fine. Like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But when it comes to what is too much, I think it, the question is, does it affect your life negatively? Were you told that there's a certain amount that's good or bad? Because sometimes when men especially are raised with a lot of religion around sexuality, they feel shame because, like, if you were told masturbation is terrible, you're going to feel shame for doing it. Whereas if the same, if there's a man who wasn't raised in religion and he also masturbates twice a day, he might feel great about it and not think anything of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So consider it, like, how you feel about it, where you got that messaging, and is it, you know, affecting your life in negative ways?
Yeah, I know for a fact we were always taught, like, within religion that it was a sin, it was bad, again, another hellfire type of thing.
Yeah.
And then what I started realizing is more so what you said, and this is like most of the Bible. I think most of the Bible is practical and logical and less spiritual. So we make it a thing of God's mad at you, as opposed to there are very real psychological and physical effects if you go too far in anything. So like you said, if you're masturbating at a certain amount that you are now experiencing, you can't get hard, or it takes, you're finding yourself going deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole and you're needing more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never enough for a real person, because that real person can't do what homegirl did in the video that you're watching.
Right.
Then you understand that it's like, oh, it's not that now God is mad at you. It's, bro, you're messing up your own life now.
Mm.
Like, now you're affecting you enjoying this thing that should be awesome. And God's more concerned with that. Like, yo, you are now downgrading your life. It's like, I'm gonna be fine. I already paid for it. I did my deed. You know, I love you. But you are now affecting how good your life is going to be by your choices. And that makes it, and when I started viewing life, sin, and all those really taboo subjects like that, like, not God's mad at me, but it's more like, how is this fucking up my life?
Yeah.
Because God ain't up here trying to mess up my life. Like, he wants me to live a good life. But if this choice is messing it up for me, that's just me doing it to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like God's up there like, I'm so sad. I'm mad at you.
Yeah, you did it again.
Yeah,
man.
It's more like, I get it, man. It's hard out there. But, like, think of yourself. Try to, like, succeed in your life for yourself. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I started viewing that stuff. Does penis size matter? This is one of these things, bro, that if I ended up in these streets again, I'm scared, because all these girls, they're all about talking about this.
Dude,
shit.
I just saw this this TikTok video recently, and this girl's breaking it down, and she had an actual, like, tape measure out.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, this is the biggest one I've ever seen. And it was like 10 inches tall. And she's like, this is fucking ridiculous.
No, yeah.
She's like, nobody really wants this. Look at this, you know? And so she's like, and then she kept going down, and she's like, this is all I need. And it was like 4.5 inches.
It's so much pressure. It's so much pressure.
But
I'm like,
yeah, man. I know, like, especially for growing up, you know, like, in athletics and being in a bunch of locker rooms and stuff like that, it was always kind of like low key, this like penis size, like, competition. It was like unspoken. Like, everyone's like, ooh, like, this guy, this guy's probably packing meat, you know what I'm saying? Like, and for other people, it's always like, you know, the guys who always talk about how big they are, you're kind of like, you're probably not. Like, you don't really carry big dick energy.
Yeah.
You just talk about it.
But is there a scientific size that most women enjoy? Is that a stat? I wonder if that's
no,
a stat.
No, there's... The thing about penis size is, like, there's an average for most people.
Uh-huh.
And I think I completely understand why it's easy for men to get really insecure about this stuff. Because, like you said, it's culturally everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a conversation that people have. It's a way that we body shame men, is by, like, being like, oh, he must have a little dick. Like, it's constantly in the cultural conversation. But I think when you speak to most women, or most, you know, if we're talking about like straight women, they're going to be more interested, not just in the size of a penis, but like, are you a good in bed? And mm-hmm. that is so much more than dick size. It's yeah. like, are you compassionate? Are you tender? Do you listen? Do you know like her anatomy? Are you going to be a giving lover? Are you going to be reciprocal? If, you know, like those are the things that I think are so much more important. But I do understand like why penis size is such a big deal, because it's everywhere the way we talk about it. I just read an article yesterday. It was like a really fascinating article in the Daily Beast. I can send it over to y'all if you want to read it, but it's about these like subreddits where men just try to stretch their penises by doing things like hanging weights from them.
Holy shit. Or, that's a thing?
Dead ass serious. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There are subreddits dedicated to stretching your penis, including like putting it in what's almost described as like a device that you sit in for up to like hours on end. So a lot of guys that work from home are like, yeah, when I'm working, I always got my dick in this thing.
Nah.
It's fascinating, but it's also like, what turns out to be the case is that some of the men that claim that they have stretched their penises, they're stretching their flaccid penises, but when they get an erection, the erection is never, mm-hmm. the erection isn't bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it's flaccid, it might look longer, but when it's erect, it's going to be the same size it always was.
Right. Interesting.
But yeah, it sounds like in these forums, you know, men will do these things. They will sometimes get injuries. They'll get bruising. They'll get these like calluses, but they're very, very, I mean, to me, it's body dysmorphia, just like,
yeah,
you know, the way people starve themselves or do plastic surgery. It's like, it's another facet of that.
Yeah. Karen says, do you make sure she finishes too?
Yeah.
I'm on that vibe. I always go into it. Girl has to get it first. All it just, I won't feel good unless jazz at first. That's just it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Feel like I'm taking, which sometimes that is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Question is, why does it hurt when I have sex?
Oh, this is such a rough question, because this is a common thing mm-hmm. for people raised with purity culture, with religious shame, is discomfort with penetration. For some mm-hmm. people, it straight up hurts. For some people, they cannot even get a finger inside of them. There mm-hmm. are people that have trouble with a tampon. And that can have to do with the tenseness and tightness of the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is, I don't think something that's discussed that often, but like our pelvic areas have a whole system of like muscles in them.
Right.
And for some people, they are so exceedingly tight from anxiety, from stress, from tension, from fear, that it can mean that penetration is difficult, too impossible. Wow. And if someone is having that problem, I would really recommend they talk to a doctor and insist that something is done. Because I've heard horror stories of people telling their doctor, what hurts when I have sex? And the doctor's like, oh, you just need to drink a glass of wine. Which is really bad advice. Sure. For some people, it truly is a physical issue going on.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I want to ask you something, because I know we've been talking about, you know, heterosex, but do you talk with same-sex people that are the issues the same?
Oh, yeah.
Like, since it's girl-girl, you would think, oh, they for sure know. Like, they're sensitive to each other.
It's going
to
be more intuitive.
Yeah, they're going to be so...
I wish I could tell you that was the case. But again, I'm mostly working with people that were raised in purity culture. And for a lot of people, it takes them a long time to realize that they're gay or that they're bi or that they're queer. Because they're like, if it was never an option, you know, if you were told that was a sin, you are likely to repress that for a long time. So I work with a lot of people who are coming out, and they might be in their 30s or older, and they're like, they're just really scared and they don't know what to do. And they're so afraid of being like the late bloomers in their mm-hmm. in their dating pool. And they feel like everyone else has all this experience and they're going to go out there being like, I've never been on a date. I've never had sex. You know, I'm really new to this whole like being gay thing. So yeah, that's not something that that people just have confidence about. It's people are like, I just don't really even understand. Can you tell me exactly, exactly how two women have sex? And I'm like, yeah, sure. There's lots of ways, but
yeah,
here's a list.
Pull out the list. on the opposite end, why does sex feel good?
Oh, well, if I was like an evolutionary biologist, I would say it feels good so that we will do it and so we will replicate the species and so that we will continue to populate the planet. That's like the big answer.
Right.
But otherwise, I mean, our genitals and our bodies have so many pleasurable nerve endings, and they mainly are concentrated in the genitals, the anus, and the breasts, but there are pleasurable nerve endings all over the body, and that is why sex feels good.
And the endorphins, yeah. Is it endorphins or is it serotonin? What is it that go?
There's probably like
oxytocin.
There's a ton of chemical reactions that occur too, right?
Yeah. I mean, that like, shit can make you feel drunk.
Oh my gosh. It's like, it feels like a superpower.
Yeah, no, for
you know,
sure.
That release of all of that, what you just said, it's like, oh my gosh, this is.
I'm trying to be a superhero. how long does sex last, or how long should it last?
Yeah, how long should sex last?
I mean, I guess that would be based on each person, but
it really should. It's based on each person, on who's in the couple. I mean, I think our stereotype and our joke is that if we're talking about a straight couple, it's like, if you're lucky, maybe he'll give you some foreplay and then 2 minutes of thrusting.
Jeez.
And I know that sounds pretty sad, but there's not a standard answer, because there are people that will be like, we had sex all night. And I'm just like, really? That sounds like tedious.
That's
like,
very hard. All night?
Jeez, burning a lot of calories. Get that old school cardio in.
I wish.
Do you not shop and like pee and get a snack? Like,
oh man,
I'm jealous because I've known I have a friend whose husband, and I know this because I knew them when they weren't boyfriend and when they were just boyfriend and girlfriend, and she told me, she's like, yeah, he's awesome because even after he comes, he doesn't get soft. I was like, what superhero power did this guy get to where he can just stay? Like, he just stays.
And that's the thing young men are much more likely to be able to get one erection after the other, like without a like period of the refractory period in between, where it's like, for as men get older, you know, your bodies have to, it takes them a while to go back into that cycle of sexual arousal.
Yeah.
So by the time a man's in his 60s, he might only be able to get one erection a day. Like,
yeah, see, that's why I don't understand old men going after young girls. Bruh, if I ever end up, God forbid, I'm single again, I'm going up. Because I just want her to be like, son, as long as you bring me a sandwich, I am good. I don't have any expectations of you. I don't want to meet some 25-year-old who's like, sandwich. Why are you always tired? I'm like, bitch, I'm old. I can't hang. I can't hang. Go get a college boy. Shoot.
Probably last question here is, can certain exercises really lead to better sex?
Ooh, like Kegels?
I guess that's probably what.
Oh, that's
asking.
A good question. Whenever you said certain exercises, I immediately was thinking like, it's really good for, you know, you get that like hip thrust when you like deadlift and do snatches and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can take that hip thrust.
Yeah.
And very, you know, use
applicable.
That in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So that's like that kind of exercise. But in terms of like things. Yeah, Kegels are something that I think we have a lot of misinformation about. We think everyone should just be doing them all the time. But if you are a person that already has tightness in your pelvic area, that's not the exercise that you're going to want to be doing all the time.
You'd want to do, which I'm learning now about, perineal massages.
Mm.
Do you know about those?
Yeah. So. I'm not a pelvic floor expert by any means, but they're also, if a person has excessive tightness in the vaginal opening, some people will actually practice using dilators at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like a set of essentially like little dildos that are like start pinky size,
right,
and work your way up, and you would have to like intentionally exercise your vagina with those.
Yeah. Perineal massages. I started learning about it because of pregnancy, because apparently it does affect pregnant women. And it's basically just literally, which makes me feel like a doctor, but you're literally going in and just stretching, like pushing down on the bottom for, you know, 10 seconds. And you're pushing on the right, you're pushing on the left. There's breathing, there's like, you know, all this stuff. And it literally helps. It's pretty amazing. I didn't know about it until my girl.
I just knew about it now.
It's awesome. It's pretty awesome. Like it's I'm learning about it. I'm learning so much because my wife is pregnant and I'm like, man, this shit you that were, I didn't know
you
about.
You're gonna learn a lot about bodies right now.
Yeah, I'm learning so much. I mean, and it's hard because when I look at my wife, I think she's the most beautiful thing ever, carrying our little girl around. But shoot, pregnancy gets me more like nervous. I don't want to mess with it. It doesn't. I'm not one of those dudes that are like, yeah, pregnant women, that turns me on. I'm more like, oh my God, what do I got to do? I got to protect you. Don't move too fast. Just, you know, whatever. I'm in safe mode all the time. And I can't.
Well, I will say, people ask often, is it bad to have sex when I'm pregnant? Like, you know, is the baby going to get jostled around? And unless your doctor tells you it's a bad idea, it's perfectly fine to have sex when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sweet baby girl. It's very difficult. Oh, man. Dude, thank you so much for taking time. Yeah. We covered a lot of areas of sex.
Yeah, that was really cool. I love the balance that you brought and all the things that you're talking about and presenting. And
thank you.
I think that's huge, you know? Like, instead of it's like exactly in like black and white, like this is it, this is not. It's like instead you're giving someone an actual like skill set or tools to like go out and actually practice that in an actual lived world that's very chaotic.
Yeah, or even the permission to like not know
for some people
to learn to grow in it. Like if you make
mistakes,
if you expect to just come out like this master cocksman, you know what I'm saying? No. Like that ain't happening. And same thing with the women. Like it's probably true. Okay, this is interesting because you said, which I want you to send me where you found that stat, because I want to look at that it's less sexualized now.
Yes,
I'd love to read about that. But
because I think it's also for adults too, post-pandemic.
Even though our society's hyper-sexualized because of the access, it's funny that most people, and this could be another reason, that the pressure of having to be this sex god kind of like makes you shrink. Because I 1000% think that just me myself, like if I was out in these crazy streets, I would be terrified. I would be terrified that I'm not big enough, that I'm not good enough, that I don't have enough money, that I don't have enough, you know. I would just feel like not enough in so many ways that it would push me, like maybe I would just rather enjoy a screen in myself more so than having to deal with the rejection that I feel is dooming, you know? So that could be another reason why sex is less. Like I would believe that, because I've felt that before.
It's fascinating to theorize about. I think that there are so many, you know, like that is an incredibly good point. There's probably a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
But I'll send you that article and I'll send you the one about the penis stretchers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like what I do see for a lot of like young people is I'll see, they'll either talk to me about it or I'll see like videos or whatever. And it's like all these vitamins and supplements to help make your penis bigger, but they're natural. Like this going to make you all a beast in bed, dog. Like take this ashwagandha, you know?
When women talk about yoni steaming and putting like jade eggs in their vaginas, it's woo woo bullshit.
Yeah.
And this making your penis grow with supplements is also,
you're like, you got what you got, dog. Unless you're gonna go over here out, like I know there's some countries that will actually perform like a surgery on you, like unless you're willing to go and you could possibly like really ruin things for the rest of your life. You got
in the
what
meantime,
you got,
you
dog.
Could just like work on your head game a little.
Yeah,
that's what I was. Work on that, or just work on your personality.
Yeah,
you know, women will not get with a fly guy if he's like super. I have a friend right now that's dating this dude that legitimately looks like a bear. Like I'm just like, what the f-? And she's so pretty, but I can tell the dude is cool as hell. Like, he has a cool personality. He's funny.
He's nice.
He's legit like a bear, hair everywhere. And she's just like, I don't know what it is about him. He's just so confident, so cool. I'm like, look at you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Dudes, we have a chance. Don't give up. Don't give up. Man, I'm so grateful. Yasmin, she said, thank you. Thank you, Yasmin, for being on. Thank you, Erica. Thanks for everybody who joined us. We appreciate it so much. And we're going to say bye. And like we always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.